Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is David Freeman, who is a leading authority on the production, management and delivery of energy to large populations. He has had the ear of federal officials since the days of JFK and helped bring about the Environmental Protection Agency under President Nixon. He headed the Tennessee Valley Authority under President Carter, and he also headed New York Power and the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, and was the state energy czar responsible for rescuing California from the predations of Enron and company. David Freeman is the author of Winning Our Energy Independence, and Energy Insider Shows How. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Freeman.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And what's your sense then of this announcement from the White House that the EPA's new rules were unveiled to reduce CO2 emissions from coal-fired electric generating plants by 30% from 2005 levels over the next 15 years? What kind of should we be celebrating that the White House is going green?
Well, there's two points of view. If you take the world's most awesome problem, which threatens to change life as we know it for almost everyone on Earth, and settle for a tiny move in the right direction, then you would applaud this. But if you are a citizen that's concerned about your kids and grandkids and expects leadership, you know, Franklin Roosevelt-type leadership from your president, this is a political document. Here's the situation. If you have three fires, the power plants are one fire, all the gas and oil that heats our buildings and homes is another fire, and the transportation sector is a third fire. So he's dealing with only one of three fires. And then then it's an inconvenient truth that methane is emitted to the air when you use natural gas. And that just destroys his all-of-the-above approach if he counts it. So he's not counting methane. He has a carbon attack on just the power sector, one fire. So there are two fires that will continue to burn unabated. And on this particular fire, we're going to substitute Marlboros for Camels, in a sense, natural gas for coal. Now, there will be some incremental improvements as a result of this, but they'll be tiny compared to the goal that he himself has set forth when he first became president, which is by 2050, we have to reduce emissions by 83%. In other words, we've got to get down to where emissions are only 13% of what they are today in all three fires. And, you know, the politically difficult ones are the ones that he's not touching at all, and the fire that is at least attackable through the EPA and the Clean Air Act, this is an approach that lacks any bite because he's ignoring the fact that methane is, in the first 20 years, is 80 times as bad as carbon. And we add the numbers together, almost all the experts now agree that natural gas is as bad as coal, yet he is not counting the methane. So, it's a little sad that, unfortunately, politics is influencing the situation, as it always does. I can't condemn a president for being political, but I have to tell it like I see it.
Well, but most of the political commentators are saying, David Freeman, that the president's paying a political price, that Mitch McConnell may well be rescued by this ruling, that the coal states are all up in arms, and now this whole canard that Obama has a war on coal has traction with Republicans.
This may be the worst of all worlds. This may be a situation where a president who feels that he's trying to at least raise the issue and begin to move it in a right direction is doing something that's so politically unpopular that it actually hurts his party. It isn't going to hurt President Obama. He didn't up for re-election. It will hurt a few people, but frankly, I can't criticize him for that. You know, those Democrats have kids and grandkids, and the people in those states need to be educated. So I must say that it's hard for this liberal Democrat to shed any tears over Democrats that are behaving like Republicans, if I can be that partisan about it.
Well, David Freeman, it seems to me the problem here is that even, as it stands now, 40% of emissions from power plants, they contribute 40% of the climate change gases at the moment.
Yeah, 38. And there's 62% that goes untouched. I mean, you know, this prominent economist, Ted Northouse, says it just like I do. No politician leader in the world has a serious agenda to combat climate change. I mean, this is not a serious agenda to get us to the goal the president himself laid out, which is virtually eliminating the greenhouse gases by 2050. We have to start. Let me tell you my major problem. Because I was in the utility business, I know these power plants. When you build a new power plant in 2015, it is going to be running in 2050. And we can't afford to be running it. So we're building power plants that in order to survive, we're going to either have to shut down or we'll just go with the lemmings and it'll be all over. I mean, but we should have enough sense to realize that every new power plant ought to be solar, wind, with storage. We have those technologies. It is maddening that the technologies have advanced far faster than any political agenda, and we ought to be having all new power plants made of solar and wind if there was no climate problem, because they are fuel-free. The sun and the wind is free, and once you they last as long as the other plants, and once you've paid them off, it's free electricity. Look at the dams that we built in the 30s and 40s. I ran the New York Power Authority, and the power from Niagara and from St. Lawrence, we sold it for 1 cent a kilowatt hour to bring the aluminum industry to upstate New York, and we made 9 mills on it. It's virtually free. And the same will be true of the solar plants. The solar panels don't wear out. The windmills wear out occasionally, but they're replenished, and these plants go on. The average coal-fired power plant in America is almost 50 years old. So it's madness to be permitting anything that pollutes in the future, if we're really serious. And that means it would be a huge political fight, but it would be a fight worth fighting for. This is pablum.
Again, I'm speaking with David Freeman, who's a leading authority on the production, management, and delivery of energy to large populations. He has had the ear of federal officials since the days of JFK and helped bring about the Environmental Protection Agency under President Nixon. He headed the Tennessee Valley Authority under President Carter. He also headed the New York Power and the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, and was a state energy czar responsible for rescuing California from the predations of Enron and Company. And David Freeman is the author of Winning Our Energy Independence, and Energy Insider Shows How. So it seems to me that, you know, the coal plants, because coal is dying a natural death any rate, because of the introduction of natural gas plants that are replacing them. But the real problem here is, as you point out, that we don't know how much seepage of methane comes from the natural gas grid. I've done interviews with people, by the way, up in Stanford, who have done studies about how much seepage is coming from fracking and from the wellheads. And from the grids, but nobody's combined that with the grids that go into your home across the United States. So,
well, it's just not a secret that these gas pipelines underneath the city streets leak like crazy, 5% and 10%. We just got through blowing up a big part of New York City with a gas leak, and the Obama administration's methane task force is not even studying that part of it because they know they can't do much about it. I mean, if the leakage of methane is only 1.2%, then the numbers say that natural gas is as bad a greenhouse gas as coal. And I don't think there's anybody that knows anything about it that would try to claim that the leakage rate is as low as 1.2% overall, if you include the pipelines part of it. And so it's an inconvenient truth. He has an all of the above policy, which he borrowed from BP, by the way. I mean, that was their policy, 57 in 07. But he's stuck. He's bragging about fracking and about how we're doing more oil and gas. And the climatologists are telling us if we burn only 20% of the petroleum reserves we've already discovered, that we've used up all the space there is in terms of surviving. The family doctor is screaming stop, and we're ignoring two-thirds of the fire and playing around with one-third, and in accounting a shift from one poison to the other is progress. And still catching hell about it from the know nothing, do nothing crowd. It's just for someone that knows something about it, it's heartbreaking.
So, and the do nothing crowd is the ultimate irony that Mitch McConnell may get reelected for the worst possible reason.
But here they've gone in 30 seconds from saying it doesn't exist to saying it's too late to do anything about it.
You're right.
If you think that we're that much smarter than the elephants and the other animals, ask again. And we may end up being this century's version of the dinosaurs.
So what then is, if there was a definitive study on the seepage of methane from the across the entire grid, from extraction, production, shipping, and into the house, the pipeline that goes into your house when every house one time or other has smelt gas in the house, so it's ubiquitous. So would that help to get a real figure on this so that we can stop kidding ourselves?
I don't think that anybody that knows anything about it is kidding themselves. I think this is, to borrow Al Gore's phrase, an inconvenient truth. And it is maddening to me that the folks that are preaching listen to the scientists. When they get a fact that is inconvenient, they tend to ignore it. And I guess it's human nature. It's easier to just focus and say that natural gas is cleaner than coal. It is cleaner for local pollution. And I must say, before the climate change became an issue, I was an advocate of using natural gas instead of diesel oil at the Port of Los Angeles. But when it comes to greenhouse gases, we now know that the methane is a huge thing. Besides, there is a large amount of methane that emits from landfills and from cows and things. Methane is a major greenhouse gas, so launching attack on carbon only is just ignoring a big source of the problem, and it is a source of the problem that makes natural gas as bad as coal. And I just think that's a statement that is backed up by just about every study that's been made. Now, most of this, I mean, the fact that EPA doesn't count methane doesn't mean it doesn't count. Mother Nature knows about it. And Mother Nature would send a memo to Barack Obama today. He says, nice try, kid, but you got to do more before you get my attention.
Well, but also the natural gas lobby and the oil and gas lobby have, they've been touting all over television this wonderful miracle greenhouse gas reducer. I mean, it's not as if...
They're the most effective lobbyists in the country. The gas industry is far outstripped the oil industry in its influence and in its ability to win over so-called good guys. And then there's another sleeper in the thing. I mean, this supporting old nuclear power plants, with all due respect, I think there's a special place in hell for the environmentalists who are supporting nuclear power, and especially supporting 35- and 40-year-old reactors that no one knows how long they're going to last. We got Fukushima's all over the country. And this policy, if you read the fine print, it enables a utility to count a nuclear power plant as an offset to continuing to burn coal, for God's sake. So they got the two poisons and saying if you use one poison, You can use both. I mean, give me a break.
Well, David Freeman, I thank you very much for joining us. Unfortunately, the news is bad, but it needs to be made clear that...
Well, I think people need to be educated. I think the younger generation would get behind a comprehensive program if we had leadership that had the nerve to even put it on the table. That's my disappointment. I know you can't pass the time of day in this Congress, but we'll never get a program worthy of the name unless the President of the United States lays it out, and he didn't today.
Well, David Freeman, I thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with David Freeman, who's a leading authority on the production, management, and delivery of energy to large populations. He has had the ear of federal officials since the days of JFK and helped bring about the Environmental Protection Agency under President Nixon. He headed the Tennessee Valley Authority under President Carter and also headed New York Power and the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, and was the state energy czar responsible for rescuing California from the predations of Enron and company. David Freeman is the author of Winning Our Energy Independence, and Energy Insider Shows How. We're going to take a brief station break and be back and when we'll be given a new economic vision to address climate change.